Alan Redpath, that great man of God who's gone home to be with the Lord, he said this, "The pleading heart of God is only made known through the lips of Christians. Heaven pleads through us."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program this week, Pastor Bill's series in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians continues. And today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, New Creation Realities. Now let's join the study.
I tell you what a Christian is. A Christian is a new creation, and our life is now hidden in God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are now being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus because we are now partakers of God's divine nature. Amen? I look at that and I say, oh God, we're in Him. Did you know if you're in Him, did you know the Bible tells us that in Him all the promises are yes, and again I say yes and amen in Christ Jesus? Man, we are in Him. We're in the Creator, the one who holds everything together. We are in Him, and in Him we have redemption through His blood. The Bible says in Colossians, in Him, in Christ, you are complete. Nothing more needs to be added. His life is now your life. His strength is now your strength. His love is now in your heart. Amen? Oh, I look at it and I say, oh, to be in the Lord. Man, listen, if Jesus pleads the Father, that means we've pleased the Father. Why? We're in Him. Has Jesus overcome the world? Yeah, we've overcome the world. How? We're in Christ. Are you with me? Now watch this. Old things have passed away. Old things have been severed from our old man. Everything has been broken off. What does it say in John 5:24? That we're not going to come under the judgment, but we have now something new. We have passed out of death into life. Death will never hold us. We'll never taste it. Why? We're in Christ Jesus. We're never going to be in Adam ever again. Isn't that good to know? No, we're not, like I always say, we're not in the Adams family. I'm sorry, we're not. Sin is no longer our master, Romans 6:14. Not only that, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are born from above. We're new creations in Christ. The Holy Spirit has sealed our heart. And when you become a new creation, for the very first time in your life, you have now defeated the devil. Man, listen, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? New. Now listen, as I always say about this verse teasingly, if that's a word, is teasingly a word? I don't really know. If I created it, it was pretty good. Now, you still have the same home. You still have the same car. You still have the same wife, the same children, the same job. It says all things have become new. What does that mean? It means everything has changed now and become new because now you're co-heirs with Christ. Amen? Now you're in Him. Loved one, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenlies which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are the most blessed people on this planet. Not only that, hell can never be our home. We're now citizens of heaven. Amen? What a glorious thing. Behold, all things have become new. And watch this. Now all things are literally, now all these things that we're looking at, watch this, who are they from? They're not from man, they're from God. Now watch this. And God who has reconciled us to Himself. What a glorious word. How did He do it? Through Christ Jesus. And look what He's done. And has given, not angels, not pastors, has given us all, every believer, Paul and all of us as well, the ministry of reconciliation. meaning there's a change in relationship between God and us and God in this world now because of reconciliation. All things are of God. Reconciliation is an act of God and an act of God alone. No one else could have ever accomplished that. It's the work of God bringing sinful man back into a relationship with him. We're the offending party. We're the people that have sinned. We're guilty. But you know what God does? He reaches out to us. How does he do it? Through Christ Jesus. It says in Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, that's enemies past tense. You don't ever water that word enemy down. Before we came to Christ, we were enemies of God. God was not our enemy. We was his enemy. Do you understand? For we were enemies, past tense. We were, that's future tense. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received the reconciliation. The reconciliation, that word, that big word, is a change from enmity into friendship. The NCV version says this: we now are God's friends again. Why? Through the death of Jesus Christ. So reconciliation is now a change. It means a change in relationship. In other words, we're now in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. Reconciliation, never forget this, means for man. It means there's a way for man to get back to God. Man could not go to God. God had to come to man. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good to us. And now that we have been reconciled through the death of Jesus Christ, look at verse 18. It says, and we have been given, or has been given, the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, watch this. That is that God was in Christ. Remember, the word becomes flesh. He's the God-man. That God was in Christ. And look what was God doing? Reconciling the world to himself, the world. God was in Christ reconciling the human race to himself. How? Through the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave, remember? Look at this now. Not imputing their trespasses to them. What does that mean? It means that when this reconciliation that happened from God through Jesus Christ, it means he no longer counts the sins against them and has committed to us, entrusted to us, placed into our hands, watch this, the word of reconciliation. Now listen, we are not called to reconcile God to them. God has already reconciled the world. Are you listening to me? God's already done that. It's already an accomplished fact. But you say, well, Bill, look at the world. Look how they're living. I know that. That's why something has to happen. That's why it says the word of reconciliation, it has been committed or entrusted or handed over into our hands to this lost world. What's the word? The word of reconciliation from our lips to the lost, be reconciled to God. He loves you. Jesus paid for your sins. Come to him. How does God reach a helpless, hopeless, strengthless, sin-filled, dying world? Reconciliation. What do I mean by that? Reconciliation is already an accomplished fact on God's side. Now, yet it must be believed on the human side. Now, reconciliation is a fact, but reconciliation has to be offered. Now, look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his spokesman. We are his representatives on this planet. As though God were pleading through us, look what happens. We beg you, we urge you, we implore you, we're pleading with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now listen, new creation reality. You are right this minute. The moment you were born again, you are an ambassador for Christ. The question you need to ask this, is God pleading through you for those that are lost? That's a question that I pray is a reality in your life. Be reconciled to God. Did you know that is the cry from the heart of God to a lost world? And I pray that it's the cry of every church and every believer. Amen? You know, Alan Redpath, that great man of God who's gone home to be with the Lord, he said this, "The pleading heart of God is only made known through the lips of Christians. Heaven pleads through us." We are his ambassadors. Jesus said in John 20:21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are not only loved one, his ambassadors, we have his power to go, we have his authority to go, but we are also Christ's fishers of men. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." We're to win. He who wins the lost, he is wise, the Bible teaches. Loved one, God, the Creator, I look at that and I say, he is pleading. Isn't that a message? Man, he says, "I'm pleading you through these people, the church. I have a message for you. Be reconciled to God." I read something the other day and I copied it down, and I don't know the author and I don't know what his name is, or maybe it was a her. I have no idea. I just saw it and it just broke my heart. And it fits perfectly right here. He said this, "A lost world is not on the doorstep of a powerless, loveless God." I say amen to that, but listen to what he says. "But it is on the doorstep of an apathetic and unconcerned church." Never let that be said about this place. Amen? Never let that be said. Now look at verse 21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I know you know that scripture, but may I tell you, loved one, that every believer should stop and pause and ponder this incredible sacred verse. You know, you could even read it this way: "The one not having sin, sin became." Why? For you and for me. This was all God's plan. Had nothing to do with man at all, man's plan. Okay, it was totally God. It says in Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased God to bruise him," meaning Jesus, "on the cross, and he has put him to grief. When you make him his soul as an offering for sin." Man, I look at that in a scripture. "For he," meaning God, "made him," meaning Jesus, who was never acquainted with sin. Never sinned, never touched him. He never embraced sin, never sinned in word, deed, thought, action. Never, never. It says that he was made sin. What does that mean? First of all, Jesus was God. Is that right? On the cross, you know what it means, loved one? Was made sin. It means that God, in his love for you and me, the world, made himself sin, the sin offering of the world. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was God's offering upon the cross. It just breaks me up every time I think about this. Jesus, our God, treated sin as the one who never knew sin. That's what God did. God treated his only son as if he were the sinner upon the cross at his death. God treated his only son as if he had sinned every sin that mankind had ever sinned. It was placed upon him. I think about that and I say, oh Lord, but Jesus never sinned. But yes, it was accredited to him as if he did, yet he had never sinned. Jesus died upon the cross, and he died a death that was only reserved or deserved for sinners, not the Son of God. That's why Jesus, when he cried out from the cross, remember, he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus never called God, my God. It was always Father. Only from the cross did he say, my God, why? That is the cry of an orphan. That is a cry that we would have cried. Do you understand? That's the cry of someone who's abandoned by God, as we would have been abandoned. But God didn't forsake him, did he? No, he raised him from the dead. Love, when I look at these things and I say, God, you are incredible. What was the purpose in all of that? It was because, look what it says, that we might become the righteousness of God in him or in Christ. That is a definite new creation reality, loved one. Listen, there was a real death. There was a real suffering of death. There was a real transfer of sin to him. Amen? But there was something else that occurred when we believe in him. There is a real imputation of his righteousness to the believer. You see, we are not simply the righteousness of God. No, no. Loved one, listen. We are the very righteousness of God as a result of being in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him, you who are in Christ Jesus, there's that word again, in Christ Jesus, who became for us righteousness. He is our righteousness, the great, unbelievable, doctrine of justification when the believer, the sinning person, believes in Christ and says, Jesus be the Lord of my life. You know what God does when that happens? God declares that person, now listen, just as if he had never sinned. That's what that means. I think, oh Lord, wait a minute. You mean, does that mean as if he had never been a sinner? That's right. As if we had never sinned one sin because we are in Christ. Are y'all following me? I'm talking about our positional righteousness right now that we have in Christ. And not only that, you know what God does now? Now that we are in Christ, it's if you had been perfectly obedient as Jesus had been perfectly obedient. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Whenever a believer trust Jesus as Lord, God says, you're innocent, completely innocent. And it's a free gift. Listen to Romans 5:18. It says, therefore, through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that one act of disobedience from Adam, you know, resulting in condemnation, meaning condemnation to all mankind. Even through one man's righteous act, meaning Christ's death on the cross, the free gift came to all men, here it comes, resulting in justification for life. Now listen, for as by one man's disobedience, that one sin of Adam there in the garden, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Also, by one man's obedience, talking about Jesus dying on the cross for us, many will be made righteous. Now listen to me. How many, in Adam, how many people were made sinners by one man's disobedience? Now, you sure there wasn't a mistake along the way? You mean there wasn't one person that maybe was born, you know, without sin? No. Listen, every person that's going to be born today, tomorrow, if Jesus tarries for 10 years, the next 10 years, they're born in Adam. By one man's disobedience, hey, we're made sinners. Do you understand? Not one was missed. Not one person has ever said, he missed me. Are you with me? Okay, then by one man's obedience, how many were made righteous by his obedience? Every one of them. If you ask Christ Jesus to be the Lord of your life and you mean it, I'm telling you that you were made or imputed. It wasn't imparted to you. Christ's righteousness was imputed, which means to take what belongs to another and place into your bank account, if you will. Man, it's charged to you, and no one can change that because no one can change the righteousness of Christ. Amen? And I say, oh, God, you're so good. Listen, that's a new creation reality, loved one. Your record before God right this moment, if you are in Christ, is the spotless, sinless Son of God's perfect record. Amen? That's what you have. No wonder the Bible says, being justified, it says in Romans 3:24, justified, declared righteous by God, freely, didn't cost you a thing, cost Jesus everything, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. As I've said so many times throughout the long history of this church, loved one, justification should be taught all the time. You should know what that doctrine is. You should have it embedded in your heart. Justification is a judicial act of God, where God declares the believing sinner, Jesus be the Lord of my life. He declares you that very moment, legally, in his eyes, righteous in Christ. And Christ's perfect record is imputed unto your account. It's a one-time act. It is never to be repeated. And it's not a process. You are declared not guilty. Now listen to me. And you can never be declared guilty again. You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. Do you understand? Man, and I said, you got to get that into your heart. Justification. Well, did he pardon me? He didn't pardon you. You go pay for your sin. Well, I had a DWI. Went down to Huntsville. I hope you didn't. And then you get out. Is it still on your record? Yes, it's still on your record. But justification, it can't be on your record because it's as far. Your sins are far as the east is from the west. Do you understand? They can never return to you. They've been carried away. Why? They were placed on Christ. I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. But I didn't feel anything when I was justified. You didn't even know you were being justified. Justification is not a feeling. It's a fact. Boy, you got to get that into your heart. It's a fact. It's not something that happens in us. It's something that happened to us, loved one. Our standing with God has changed because we're in Christ, meaning it is perfect. Now listen, very important. No, listen, justification is a one-time judicial act. Don't confuse justification and sanctification. Sanctification is a process. Amen? Very important that we see that. See, justification is a matter of imputation, but sanctification is a matter of transformation. We are now in a process. We are being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory into the same image of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who is working in our lives. Now listen, God does not justify what he does not sanctify. That is a new creation realities that you need to have in your heart. No wonder Paul says, as I'm closing, but look at it. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, the very next verse, we then as workers together with him plead with you not to receive the divine favor, the unmerited favor, the unearned favor, the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I've heard you. And in the day of salvation, oh, I've helped you. Now look at this. Listen, behold, now, that's today, now this minute is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I can't imagine how many times did I deny the pleading Savior's voice. Be reconciled. I paid for it. God's not mad. He's not going to hold you. He's taken your sins. I took them for you. How can, if you don't know Christ, how can you not come to Christ? How can you resist him? If you're here this morning and you don't know, man, he's knocking on your heart. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him. He with me. He with me. And I pray that as they depart this morning, that you send your ambassadors into the harvest. Your laborers to seek and to save those who are lost. For we are your ambassadors, Lord. You have given, entrusted unto us the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Let us be faithful stewards. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place. We ask it now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Pastor Bill's study in 2 Corinthians continues on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in again. Amen? And we want to thank you for listening to the program today. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and we'll see you next time. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.